Hi, Mina. I'm Nikki Paraiso. I'm 64 years old. I'll be 65 in October. Today's date is Monday, August 15th, 2016. We're on Foley Square on the island of Manhattan. And Muna is my colleague and friend, and I'm very happy to be with you here today.
Hi, Nikki. It's great to be here with you. I'm Muna Tseng, T-S-E-N-G, and I just turned 63 this week.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. Today's date is August 15th, 2016. And we're in Foley Square, opposite the Supreme Court.
That's right.
In Lower Manhattan.
I've done jury duty over there, yeah, or down the street, yeah.
And I'm very happy to be here with my colleague and friend, Nikki Paraiso, who I have known for quite a number of years now in the downtown dance community, and I'm really looking forward to getting to know you better today and sharing some stories.
So where I wanted to begin, Muna, is maybe you can at least to jog my memory, what is your, can you speak a little bit about your background of being the daughter of Asian immigrants from China, and then emigrating to Canada, and then when was it that you first came to New York to be an artist?
I was wondering whether we arrived in New York around the same time. Both my brother, my late brother, and I came to New York to be artists in 1977-78.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact month.
That's when I was just graduating from NYU grad school.
Ah.
1977.
So you were here.
I was here. Well, I was born here in New York, in Flushing Hospital in Flushing, Queens. So I am a native-born American, native New Yorker, and both my parents were immigrants from the Philippines.
So you're first generation.
Yes, I'm first generation, yes.
American, Filipino.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. My parents were escaping from communist China in 1949, and the family went to Hong Kong, and they had three children, my older brother Quang Chi, myself, and our younger brother Raymond, in Hong Kong, and they didn't want to run away from the communists again in 1965-66. There was a lot of homework in Hong Kong from the Cultural Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole family immigrated to Vancouver, Canada. And we had quite a few years of misery, I would say, mm-hmm. in Vancouver.
Was there was that a choice, moving to Canada, say, as opposed to emigrating to the United States?
We couldn't get into United States.
Oh, you couldn't get in.
The quota was quite tight.
Mm-hmm.
And Canada was kind of like open country. Mm-hmm. As long as you had money to settle into a house and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so why I said it was misery was because culturally my older brother and I were getting interested in becoming artists. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't much of a scene. I was 13 and 16.
Teenagers.
That's hard enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then to be transplanted, you know. And so the other major immigration for both of the siblings, my brother and I, is to New York, where we finally found we were at home.
Mm-hmm. And when did that happen? Around?
Oh, early 1978, we arrived. I arrived first in the East Village, and mm-hmm. I found the apartment. on East 5th Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue.
Oh my gosh, that's close to where I ended up.
Yes. And as you remember, East Village was a pretty scary place.
Yes, it could be.
Time.
It was.
There was one block that I was bicycling home from a dance performance at Judson Church on Washington Square. And, you know, at that time, at night, you don't even go through the square.
Right.
And I was being mugged off my bicycle, being chased off my bicycle. Mm-hmm. Between Bowery and Broadway, and that block now is multi-million-dollar condos.
Yes.
The scene has very much changed.
Yeah. But when you came to New York at that time, there was a very fertile artistic scene.
Absolutely.
In the late 70s and early 1980s. And I'm sure your brother, Kwang Chi, discovered that early on.
It happened on First Avenue.
What happened on
In the
First
early
Avenue?
Morning. I think he was wearing white pedal pushers and... It was after a night of clubbing, and he met Keith Haring.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, well, there you go.
There you go.
Right.
And that began the whole
poetry
reading. Keith asked him to read with him at Club 57 on St. Mark's place. And so he just fell right into that circle. And I think, you know, what was... kind of the bottom of a Polish church on St. Mark's Place.
Yes.
Were this group of, they were all kind of immigrants to the city, you know, many of them from suburban America or small towns America.
Anne
Magnuson.
Anne Magnuson and Eric Bogosian.
Eric Bogosian.
Stephanie Skura.
Absolutely. And, also the artists, the young artists who were at School of Visual Arts, Kenny Sharp, Herring, Bruno Schmidt.
Okay.
And so they created these sort of like club evenings, theme evenings.
Yes, I went to a couple of those.
And it was Reagan era, so it was like Reagan inauguration. They would have a ball and they would have performances. Now, so my brother fell into that scene and became a key member of that club. It was kind of like their rec room, you know, and because Kwang Chi and I, when we came to Vancouver as teenagers, we didn't have friends. Mm-hmm. We spoke with this English accent from colonial Hong Kong, and we were terribly lost in Vancouver, Canada. And so we missed adolescence. You know, we missed having fun as teenagers. So when we arrived in New York, it was not only to become artists. It was like really like finding a community, finding the gang. The gang's all here.
And I suppose it was also a time of, well, because you had just left your parents, who I assume were still in Vancouver.
Yeah,
and your younger brother was remained in Canada at that time. And so it was you and Kwang, Muna and Kwang, finding their own individuality as people, as artists. Maybe if you don't mind my jumping into the fact that Kwang was also dealing with his sexuality.
Indeed, yeah.
And I'm sure you were, too.
Mm-hmm.
So can you say something about that?
Yes, I think it was a confusing time in terms of, it was traumatic for my brother to come out as a gay man.
Did he come out in Canada?
In Vancouver, when he was shortly after we immigrated, actually. And it was very traumatic for my father, well, for the whole family, but especially for my father, a Chinese patriarch.
Yes, I can only imagine.
And the firstborn Chinese son, who's supposed
That's
to carry
right.
on
the
family name
also. Yes.
And the firstborn and the city. And so it was a traumatic experience. For myself, just discovering sexuality and as a teenager, and then finding that there wasn't the kind of the uptight community in when we arrived in New York, I was finding kind of like at the same time a dance community and mm-hmm. also the community where I felt like I could have moved in with my boyfriend. I mm-hmm. could live my own life without my parents' gaze, you know, upon us.
And may I ask, when did you find that boyfriend?
Pretty soon. And so I think what I was looking for, and I'm sure for my brother, was the sense that we could become who we wanted to be. Which is difficult in Vancouver and right. really difficult in Hong Kong.
And then in New York, then you found out that anything goes.
Anything goes.
And I'm sure your brother, Kwang Chi, also
yes.
found that.
We lived together. We shared a loft in, we left the East Village and shared a loft in Chelsea before Chelsea was hit.
Chelsea, before.
21st uh-huh. and 7th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we had
so that was close to the old dance theater workshop, DTW.
Yes. Yeah. I did my first concert at DTW.
Okay.
Oh, no, excuse me. It was Riverside Church. Remember
okay,
Riverside
found,
Church?
Yeah,
and
on
then
Riverside.
David White invited me to do my downtown
wonderful.
Concert.
See, you were blessed from the beginning.
1980.
Right, right.
How great was that?
Right, right.
On the same season was Melissa Fenley. And,
oh, my gosh.
You know, those
yeah.
were the days when we were all, like, fearless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And also given the opportunity to just work with great musicians and composers and visual right. artists, the collaborations that happen. And it just happens, you know. It was just like, hey, you know, you're cool. I'm doing something new. You want to join in? And everybody did.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Those were the days.
So there was less, maybe. This is, of course, in hindsight, less of a competitive edge, more than a coming together of a community of very strong individuals. But,
and
yeah.
I think rent was cheap. We could afford to do
that's
that.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, we could survive on...
Do you remember what your first rent?
You know what my first rent was?
$85. Oh my gosh, you beat me. I was a little,
what was yours?
$165.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, for a studio apartment where I still am. So to this day.
Are you in New Village still?
Yes. Well, maybe I should jump in and say a little bit about myself and how I how I came to be an artist also. So I was the only child, the only son, and the only child of Filipino immigrants who came to... Well, my father had come much earlier, I guess in the 1920s.
Wow.
And there was a group of his townmates and cohorts. They came from the northern part of the Philippines called Ilocos Norte. And so a group of these Ilocano men, some of them ended up, as we know from history, in California, in the Stockton, northern California area. But others actually came east to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a burgeoning Filipino community in Queens, actually, of these Ilocanos.
Uh-huh.
And because the town they came from was a very small town called Sarat, and there was another town, of course, there was San Nicolas, there were all these intermarriages going on, and mm-hmm. people were very closely knit.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a closely knit community, and I remember going to my cousin's house a block away in Flushing, and there was Filipino food, and children running around, and the older folks reminiscing about their time in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But very proud to be immigrants and becoming mm-hmm. Americans. So so I was this only child, and my growing up in a Irish Italian, it was not Asian yet.
Uh-huh.
So I was an Irish Italian Catholic community. I was an altar boy. I wanted to become a priest, and until then, high school, I got in with these, you know, rebel boys, and we. I was one of three boys who did not go to Catholic high school. We went to we got into Stuyvesant High School, which was a big deal in those days.
Sure.
I guess it is still now, and it was on 15th and 1st. So I was commuting every day to the city. And so as an only child who studied piano when I was 5 years old, I definitely had this artistic bent,
mm-hmm.
and I was very, everything was very internalized, and it was very difficult to really speak about what my identity was to mm-hmm. my parents, mm-hmm. and even to my friends, and I didn't even know what that was.
Right, right.
I didn't even know. What my sexuality was.
Well, we were becoming, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's like
absolutely.
It was the process of becoming who we later, like in retrospect, wise old age,
right?
But so you were already in the city, and were you like going down further into East Village and discovering artists already?
It didn't happen until I was a junior or a senior. That was the mid to late 60s, 1960s, oh my gosh.
Wow.
And, a couple of friends from Catholic parochial school that I have kept friendships with. We go to McDougal Street, Cafe Wa, to listen mm-hmm. to folk singers and just prowl around the village. I was still like the kind of, I was completely intrigued, but kind of still very shy and kind of wallflower, kind of, what is Nikki, I usually kept things to myself. And it wasn't until much later on, after college, after grad school, that I finally was making my life in the East Village, and I had a boyfriend. His name was David Underwood, who was not an artist, but he had an artist's soul.
Mm.
Then I had there was another friend, Bill Hart, who was more of a mentor. And then there were friends from Oberlin College, and I took them to my parents' house in Queens, and my mother cooked a huge Filipino feast.